Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to do a deep dive into consumer data privacy.
It's all good.
We're looking at this article from the Solix blog. It's called 8 Effective Principles of Consumer Data Privacy.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a great kind of cheat sheet to understand these core principles.
Yeah.
And kind of what they are and how they impact both businesses and individuals.
You know, it's an interesting article because it kind of goes beyond just listing the principles. It gets into some of the challenges and best practices in a way that I think is relevant to, you know, both businesses and us, just regular people.
Yeah, absolutely. You. So the article starts off by saying that, you know, transparency is the cornerstone of consumer data privacy.
Right.
But, you know, I get that in theory, but what does that really look like in practice?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there. We just click agree, you know, to those really long privacy policies without really reading them.
Exactly. And I think that's what, you know, true transparency aims to fix.
Yeah.
It's about going beyond those legal documents and just making sure that companies are being upfront about what data they're collecting and how they're using it and who they might be sharing it with. And,
right.
you know, all of that in a way that's easy to understand, not buried in legal jargon, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
So it's like, you know I should be reading those privacy policies, but
right.
who really had the time? But like, you think about every time you download an app or shop online or anything like that,
right.
you're handing over data. Yeah. And so I think it's really empowering to know that, like, we do have a right to understand what's happening with that information.
Absolutely. And that leads us into, I think, the next two principles, which kind of go together.
Okay.
Which are purpose limitation and data minimization.
Okay, so break those down. Purpose limitation, what is that?
It essentially means that companies can't use your data for any purpose they please. For example, if you give a company your email to sign up for their newsletter, that company shouldn't then use your email to target you with ads that are totally unrelated or, you know, sell it to a third-party marketing firm.
Right, so it's all about respecting the original agreement.
Yeah.
And not kind of going beyond that.
Yeah.
So what about data minimization? What is that?
Data minimization means that companies should only be collecting the absolute minimum amount of data that is necessary for a specific purpose.
Okay.
So, you know, you should be wary of any app that asks for your entire contact list when they really only need your email address.
Right.
They're not practicing data minimization, and it raises questions about why they're doing that.
Wow, that's a great point. I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So less data collected means less risk, especially if it's sensitive information. I think the article mentioned a stat about this, right?
Yeah, it did. It said that 52% of data stored by organizations is either dark data or redundant.
What does that mean? What is dark data?
Dark data is basically just information that's been collected, but it isn't actually being used for any specific purpose.
Oh, wow.
So it's just taking up space and is potentially vulnerable to security risks.
So it's like having a ton of boxes in your attic that you never open.
Exactly. Yeah. And that really highlights the need for data minimization.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got transparency kind of laying the groundwork.
Right.
Purpose limitation and data minimization, setting some important boundaries.
Yeah.
What's next in this data privacy puzzle?
Well, next up, we have accuracy and storage.
Yeah.
And these are all about, you know, data integrity.
Now, this makes me think about all the data that companies already have about me. What if it's just wrong?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's where accuracy comes in. Companies have a responsibility to make sure that the data that they hold about you is accurate and up to date.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, you actually have the right to request that they correct it.
Oh, right. That was in the article, too.
Yeah. And they also talked about data retention policies.
Yeah. What are those?
Those are basically just guidelines for how long different types of data should be kept.
Oh,
yeah. Storage limitation stresses that data shouldn't be held onto forever.
Right.
Once it's no longer needed for the original purpose, it should be deleted.
Got it.
Or anonymized.
So it's not just being mindful about what data is collected, but also how long it's kept.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And all of these principles are really starting to paint a picture of, you know, a system where the individual user has control over their data.
So we've talked about the companies being transparent, limiting the data they collect.
Right.
But where do we fit in as individuals? Do we have any power in all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where these last three principles come in.
Okay.
Accountability, consent, and data subject rights.
I'll go through those one by one.
Yeah.
Accountability, I mean, that seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Companies need to be accountable for their practices with data.
Right.
But what does that actually look like?
It goes beyond just saying, we care about data privacy. Accountability means actually having clear policies and procedures in place.
Okay.
You know, appointing data protection officers, doing privacy impact assessments, keeping records of how data is being processed. They need to be able to, like, demonstrate it in a concrete way.
So walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
What about consent? I mean, that seems like a pretty fundamental part of ethical data handling.
Yeah, it's basically just getting a clear yes from people before collecting or using their data.
Okay.
It can't be, you know, hidden or coerced or bundled into a bunch of terms and conditions.
Oof.
It has to be freely given and specific to the purpose, and individuals should be able to withdraw their consent just as easily as they give it.
Okay, and this is where it gets really empowering for us as users, right?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned that the article highlighted some key data subject rights, too.
It did, yeah. Those are all about giving you control over your data.
Okay.
Things like the right to access the data that a company holds on you.
Right.
The right to correct inaccurate information.
Okay.
The right to have your data deleted.
Right.
And even the right to restrict how your data is being processed.
Wow. Those are some powerful rights.
Yeah.
It's kind of reassuring to know that we do have those tools.
Absolutely. And those are all cornerstones of major data privacy regulations like GDPR and CCPA.
So it's not just wishful thinking. These are like legally enforceable rights.
Exactly.
Wow. This is all starting to come together now. We've got transparency at the forefront.
Right.
Purpose limitation and data minimization setting those boundaries.
Yeah.
Accuracy and storage, making sure that the data is good.
Yeah.
And then accountability, consent, and data subject rights, giving us some control.
Yeah.
It's a pretty comprehensive framework.
It really is. And what's cool is how they all are kind of interconnected
yeah.
and work together.
Like a chain. If one link's weak, the whole thing falls apart.
Exactly. And if we look at the bigger picture, it's not just about, you know, individual rights. It's about the impact on businesses and society as a whole.
That's a good point. We've been focused a lot on, you know, the individual person's perspective.
Yeah.
What does all this mean for companies? Are these just like extra hoops to jump through?
Right.
Or is there a real benefit to embracing these principles?
It's definitely more than just hoops to jump through.
Okay.
The article actually talks about how following these principles can lead to more trust from customers.
Right.
A better reputation and even a competitive advantage for businesses.
Yeah. And with all the data breaches and privacy scandals in the news lately,
yeah.
I think people are a lot more careful about who they trust.
Right, exactly. So in that kind of environment, the companies that can show that they really care about data privacy
right.
are more likely to have loyal customers and ultimately do better.
Yeah, it makes it. It's all about building that trust and showing customers that you respect their data.
Exactly. It's like a seal of approval, you know?
Yeah, if a company shows me that they take these principles seriously, I feel like, okay, my data is safe with them.
Exactly. And then on the other hand, if companies don't follow these principles, right,
the consequences yeah. can be pretty bad.
Yeah, we're talking like big fines, mm-hmm. damage to the reputation, losing customers, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I remember there was a case just last year, I think,
mm-hmm.
where a big social media company had to pay millions in fines because they violated GDPR.
Right.
Specifically, the purpose limitation principle.
Exactly.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. And that shows that these principles aren't just talk.
Right.
They have real consequences.
They have teeth.
Yeah. And when data is so valuable these days, those risks are just too big to ignore.
So it seems like these aren't just some abstract ideas. They're like real guidelines that have a big impact on everyone.
Exactly. They provide a roadmap for navigating this complicated world of data privacy, and I think it benefits everyone involved.
Okay, so let's do a quick recap. We've got the 8 core principles from the article. Transparency, purpose limitation, data minimization, accuracy, storage limitation, accountability, consent, and data subject rights.
And all of them are really important to make sure that our data is handled responsibly and ethically.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that these aren't just like static rules. They're guidelines that need to be adapted and refined as technology keeps changing.
That's a really good point. I mean, the digital landscape is constantly evolving. Think about like AI.
Right.
The metaverse, all of that new stuff.
Yeah.
It kind of makes data privacy even more complicated.
Yeah, it really blurs the lines.
Do you think these principles can even keep up with all of that?
That's a great question. And it's something that a lot of experts are thinking about right now.
Yeah.
The core principles are still relevant.
Right.
But applying them in these new areas takes a lot of careful thought and discussion.
So it's not like you just set it and forget it. It's an ongoing conversation.
Exactly. And that conversation needs to involve everyone, policymakers, businesses, tech developers, And most importantly, people like us.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it is our data.
It is.
We have a right to understand how it's being used and have a say in how it's protected.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to stay informed and be part of these conversations.
Yeah, your voice really matters in this.
It does.
So for anyone listening who might be feeling a little overwhelmed with all this talk about data privacy, what's one key takeaway that you would want them to remember?
I would say that data privacy isn't just about laws and regulations. It's about respect.
Yeah.
It's about respecting people's rights, respecting the power of data, and respecting the responsibility that comes with handling that information.
I like that. Respect. It's a simple word, but it's powerful.
It is.
Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into consumer data privacy, what's like one thing from all of this that really stuck with you?
You know, I think for me, it was that statistic we talked about.
Yeah.
That 52% of stored data is either dark or redundant.
Oh, yeah.
It's just crazy to think about how much data is out there and what could happen if it's not being used properly.
Yeah, it really makes you think about data minimization.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, for me, I think it was the focus on individual rights. It's good to know that we actually have some power in this whole data world.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're not just along for the ride.
Right.
We have rights. And we can use them.
And I think as more people become aware of their rights and start using them, we can actually make a difference in how data is used in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Thanks.
So for our listeners, if you want to learn more, you can check out the full article on the Solix blog.
Yeah, it's a great read.
And as you're going about your day, you know, think about your own digital footprint.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What kind of data are you creating? Who has access to it? And are you okay with that?
It's a good thing to think about.
Take a look at your privacy settings. You know, explore your data subject rights.
Right.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting your privacy.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into consumer data privacy.
Yeah, it was fun.
Until next time, stay curious and stay empowered.